You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Is it your intention to appear a hobbit and only inhabit the bottom part of your screen?
I'm coming.
Okay, there you are.
I'm coming, buddy. I'm coming.
Hello, Meech.
It's nice to see you.
It's good to see you, too. I always like to start with an insult. Hello, everybody.
I'm going to drag your ass today. You got no shot.
Oh, I forgot about that part. There's so much else going on. Yeah. I completely forgot
about it. You didn't forget about it.
It's not even important to me, actually.
It's haunting you. I mean, get the hell out of here, Meech.
No, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Let me tell you right now, just save face and forfeit now rather than suffer the embarrassment of an 0-5.
Yeah. Boy, are those ever the words of somebody who's still wounded from a defeat?
There were a lot of mitigating circumstances. We're still identifying a pandemic workflow.
Are those the additional words of somebody wounded by a defeat? Yeah. I think so.
There was so much going on in the country that we had you on like 3 times in 2 weeks. It was, it had all the makings.
It was off his game, John. That's
it had all.
All
the makings.
Yeah. He handed you one. We felt bad for
it
you.
It wasn't a standard competition.
A poor workman indeed.
That was an unsanctioned match.
You created it.
But let's first let Dan do his societal stuff.
Societal stuff.
All right. This is all airing, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start
giving
with
the formula.
Start with the societal stuff then. Well, I think sometimes we should tell our guests that they're on the air just so that they know. I understand that we like to play this game with me, but okay. So you got the trash talk and Stump the Meech is coming up in a second, but there is a lot of societal stuff to get to with John Amici. And so when I heard you a moment ago, John, saying there's so much to get to, is there something that's front of mind for you? Because I've got a handful of questions, but is there something on your mind that you want to know about today?
I would imagine the thing that's on my mind is not necessarily on the mind of Americans everywhere, but in Britain, our government declared last week, after a study, and I'm just going to do that, done by esteemed academics.
Quote marks with his giant
air quotes.
With his giant fingers.
Yep. I keep forgetting. Yeah, it's only partly visual. This whole thing, isn't it? Yeah. They declared that institutional racism. Britain is not institutionally racist. Now, you could probably laugh at that in a sense, but I was really surprised by how wounded I was by it. I mean, it was literally like a gut punch when it was an esteemed group of, and they are very clever, smart people with a clear bias in terms of their affiliation with the Conservative Party in this country. But they're black and brown people who declared that institutionalized racism doesn't exist. So there's no system of racism. Racism just exists because there are bad people doing bad things, apparently. And I tell you what, the country really responded to it. People, black, white, and otherwise, really felt it viscerally. I responded. I did a video, my usual, trying to be a voice of reason. But it's a difficult one, I think, because this whole thing has been designed to shut up black people, because you get a group of black conservative academics and luminaries to declare that racism isn't real And all of a sudden we have no more excuses. It's because we're broken, you see. So it's been really, it's been a difficult week. It's going to be a difficult year. I fear that life just became incredibly, considerably more difficult for Black and Brown people in the United Kingdom. But yeah, that's what's been on my mind. What light stuff have you got going on?
Well, you said, I read you say, and you just said it now, a gut punch, but how did they arrive at that conclusion? And you're an academic. You find the flaws in studies. You don't take studies at face value. So when they declare this, and they declare it as science or pseudoscience, what are your holes that you're finding in what they're arguing?
Yeah, so there was a general misinterpretation of lots of the data that's been out for a long, long time. And a number of other academics, and I think upwards of 200 now, have written to say that they think it's a gross misinterpretation of the data. But broadly, when you look at differences, you know, anything like a racial difference, when you look at COVID, for example, you are four times more likely to die as a Black person than a white person from COVID in the United Kingdom. The stats are probably fairly similar in America as well. But if you drill down into that, you will find that factors such as the number of people in your household tends to be more with Black people than with white people. Socioeconomic status, social class, tends to be that Black people are in lower socioeconomic classes than white people on the whole. And if you start to moderate for these factors, you end up with it still being twice as likely to die as a Black person than a white person from COVID. But you have taken out all these other factors. And what they've simply done is taken out these other factors and then described what's left as unexplained racial disparities. Not institutional racism, unexplained racial disparities. And you don't have to be a scientist to realize that that's some bollocks. And it is.
Emotionally, can you take us through? You don't often get emotional about these things, but I can see how it is that that particular one would piss you off. And because now it just makes for more work. Somebody can throw that study in your face and say to you and wave around, hey, they're, wait a minute, what are you doing? This is Black people saying this.
Yeah, and they have. I mean, my social media timelines are full of people throwing the pictures, this collage of Black faces that's been conveniently collected at me, saying that if Black people say it's so, it must be so. It's really intriguing to me that racists find Black people to be infallible when they agree with them, but not otherwise. This is emotionally, why is it difficult? Because science has been used to wound Black and Brown communities for a long time. You know, almost everything we know about gynecological advances in the early days was done off the back of terrible experiments on Black women. That is why we have the good care we have in gynecological services now. There are numerous Tuskegee experiments and others where scientists who should have known better, who should have asked, in the words of kind of Jurassic Park S, not whether they could do it, but whether they should do it. And they didn't. And here we are again with a group of people who have made life more difficult for those who are less privileged. And that is a consistent theme amongst all those, and myself, is that I am too privileged to feel the full brunt of this, except on social media. Other people will feel the brunt of this in their workplaces, in their schools.
LeBron declined to talk about the vaccine and whether or not he had gotten it. And, well, what just happened? You just put your head in your hands. Are you okay? Is it
because he does so much right, right? He does so much right. There's so much good has come from this man stepping up, smacking down bigots and standing up for the right kind of causes. And not just for Black people, but lots of things, for education. And this is one of those areas where I both understand his hesitation, right? If something goes wrong, if there's an early problem, I would point out to you that with most vaccines within the first 180 days, we know all of the symptoms that would come from it. So by now we'd know all of them. I've been vaccinated. I put a video out the second I was vaccinated. I've been part of the NHS, our health system's advertisement for vaccination. And I will tell everybody the second I get my second vaccine, and I can't wait. When people won't say, nobody has that kind of concern unless they have concerns. The moment you say, well, I'm not saying, I'm sitting on the fence, you're saying to people out there, if you haven't, don't. And that's so dangerous because black and brown people are still more likely to die of this. And in a country like America, where let's face it, it's not like your insurance, it's not like your healthcare is going to be something you can just lean on without risking your entire life, your mortgage and everything else, your children's education. Get the vaccine. It is not rushed. It is quick. And it is quick because the global economy was about to be threatened. And anytime that happens, it's amazing how scientists will be infused with the funding that they require to get the work done. So this is not a rush job. This is not something that's been tested. This is not a new Tuskegee experiment. I had somebody on social media the other day come to me and say, the only reason I'm supporting this is because the virus is going to make more people gay. This is the level. And that was in, amongst the black community. This is some of the misinformation that's being kind of fermented. And when LeBron, he's so powerful, he's so influential. If he's had the vaccine, tell people he's had the vaccine. If he's not, I'm worried about him because he's a smart man and he should know that this is the way forward, that the vaccine is going to help. There's no more danger in this vaccine than the flu vaccine.
There is distrust, though, in the black community of vaccines. I'm speaking too generally there, but I'm not speaking of something that's not so.
100% right. And this is the thing, and I said this previously, there is good reason why the black community would be distrustful of medics, of medicine, and of big science, and a big pharma. There's good reason, because everywhere you look, there are examples of how black and brown people have been disenfranchised on purpose or have been utilized in the creation of new drugs and then found themselves unable to afford those same drugs. So I am not for a second suggesting that there shouldn't be skepticism, but I'm not endorsed by big pharma. I don't have any shares in any of these companies. I want brown people and black people not to die. That's what I want. And look at the jobs. So we talked about socioeconomic class and status here, which is because of institutionalized racism. There's bunches of brilliant black and brown people who have very difficult jobs that are very manual, that put them in close contact, hospitality and such, with lots of other people, which means that they are even more disadvantaged when it comes to something like COVID. And there are new variants. The South African variant is particularly troublesome, but there's a variant in Manchester, the town that I live in. There's a variant from Kent, a town in the, well, not a town, an area in the south of England. There are variants in Brazil. There are variants already. So anybody who's not protected now simply acts as a vector for those variants, and those variants will, again, cause disproportionately the death of poor people and black and brown people.
You mentioned something that I think can be attached to Charles Barkley this weekend, which it's always interesting when people choose to call him a truth teller. And so Charles Barkley was getting a lot of praise and a lot of criticism for saying that politicians are the ones who feed on the divide of creating racism in their zeal for money and glory, and that it isn't something, because I believe this is something that certainly politicians grift off of and use, but it's got to be somewhere in you, and it's in this country's history. But you took what of what Charles Barkley said, because a whole lot of white people enjoyed waving him around this weekend.
I know. It's very difficult, because my entire understanding of this man is surrounded by a meeting at the entrance of the Ritz-Carlton in Phoenix when I was playing. I was in Cleveland, 1994, must have been something like that. And I was walking out of the Ritz-Carlton in Phoenix. I lived in Phoenix, to head to my house, actually. And he was walking in. And as he passed me, I knew who he was, but I'm a rookie on a terrible team. I'm a terrible rookie on a terrible team. So I did not assume that he would know. And to which he looks at me and says, "Amici, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And he said, "Really, really appreciate the work you did at Penn State." I think he was talking about the kind of charitable stuff that I did. But even if it was my playing days, which wouldn't necessarily have been true, still, you're new. So I've always thought of him. I've even talked to him about the whole "I'm not a role model" thing. And where he talked about the idea that he thought parents should be role models, but didn't mean that people didn't have responsibility. So even there, I could live with it. But this is also one of those half-truths, right? Yes, obviously, there are politicians on both sides or on all sides who will take advantage of any lever that they can pull to give themselves an advantage in the polls, to give themselves even a momentary bump in their perception. This is not the cause of racism in America or in Britain. That is an institutional thing, no matter what the people have said in the United Kingdom last week. That is an institutional problem. And these grifters are a malignant tumor on the arse of that institutional racism. That is what they are. But they are not the cause of this. And you can excise them and another one will grow, because the problem is systemic, and so the solution must be also. And I just don't understand. He is too clever not to know this. And he is, and I know he's famous for kind of stumbling over his words from time to time, but he is too eloquent to not be able to state this in a way that does not create fodder for bigots.
You have said, and I'd like you to repeat it to the audience, because you've talked very eloquently about privilege. You should find John Amici on that subject. He's done it here. But something else I'd like to share with the audience is your thoughts on how you must be vigilant these days about being anti-racist, that it's not sufficient to simply quietly sit some of this stuff out, that you have to be vocal about it today more than ever.
Yeah. I think when it comes to racism, but also sexism, I don't know if you're aware, but in the United Kingdom, a woman's body was found. She'd been murdered by a policeman in the United Kingdom, and a vigil for her was treated, frankly, like a Black Lives Matter protest in the United States. There can be no innocent bystanders. Anyone who stands by and witnesses evil and does nothing is a part of that. I wouldn't go as far as to say they're also evil, but then you have to ask the question, how many times can you witness a travesty of justice and do nothing before you are forever tarnished by that? Anti-racism, anti-misogyny, anti-homophobia, anti-Semitism, all of these things are the idea that part of our citizenship, part of our responsibility as citizens, is to make sure that the ideal experience that is often talked about is equally distributed. The American dream, the British promise, whatever it is that is out there that says all people are created equal, that equality of opportunity should be a reality. That type of principle doesn't stand on its own. It stands with a million hands, tens of millions of hands, holding it up and defending it against people who would chip away. And we seem to have forgotten that. People like me, I'm pretty sure that people think I'm some kind of weird radical, but I'm exhausted. And I'm a giant, and I will stand up and forever be that, but I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted not just by the task at hand, but by how easily fatigued everyone else seems to be. Not everyone else, that's not fair. How easily fatigued many people who put black squares on their Instagram are now. They put a black square on their Instagram however many days ago it was now, I don't remember. 315 days ago, when George Floyd was murdered, they put a black square on their Instagram. And they probably retweeted a few things. And then in that meeting, they heard somebody say that joke. And they laughed along and they did nothing. When somebody was selecting for the project, they saw how the selection was being made, not on the basis of skill and capability and passion and drive, but rather on familiarity and similarity. And they said nothing. we can't win this way. Principles can't survive this way. They need the constant vigilance of the masses.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
What did you think of Major League Baseball pulling its All-Star game and its draft out of Georgia?
It's performative allyship, and I'm all here for it. It is necessary, but not sufficient. But yes, I think when people create laws that are not in response to voter fraud, but in response to high voter turnout, that are supposed to reduce voter turnout, they should be punished for that. It's anti-democratic. That shouldn't be a party political position.
It's crazy to me, John. I just don't understand. How did we get here? Like, when you sound tired and you say, and it seems like, I know you've been fighting for a long time, but it feels like the last 5 years have been especially brutal. How do we get to a point where we're arguing about things that otherwise would be facts? We're arguing about science. We're arguing about masks. And now we're arguing about whether or not the equal right to vote is something that's worth fighting for. Like, I just thought this was the most basic of principles. Like, America's been a democracy for whatever it's been, 60-something years. But I thought inherent to equality is just the idea of this is a stupid thing to fight over. Everyone should have equal access to vote. Why are we arguing over that?
We've always been arguing over this. Anybody who's listening to this right now, just go and look at an electoral map. And not like the statewide ones, but not like the countrywide ones, but the statewide ones. And just look at the shape of the districts. Just look at the gerrymandering that has gone on there. This fight never stopped. It became more sophisticated for a time. And that's when people started redrawing maps to make them look like, I don't know what, Rorschach tests. And then, for some mysterious reason, in the last 5 or so years, it became a lot less sophisticated. And this is the unsophisticated area of it, where we look at it and we can't understand it. But at the same time, it is simply a different face of the same malaise, a different face of the same illness.
So overt, John. It's just crazy, though. It is bare naked. It is laid bare. I don't know what happened over the last 5 years to make this something that stopped being more subtle or more camouflaged, even though it wasn't terribly subtle or terribly camouflaged.
But yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know what happened over the last 5 years to make that happen? Look, if you look at the brown faces on this call right now, there are people who realize that if the brown faces on this call all voted, instead of, as at the moment, less of them do, then that's not of benefit to people who express overtly racist views. Because however much money you make, there are some principles, I would hope, for some people that would mean that they would not necessarily vote for somebody who was racist, even if they lowered their taxes. If you want to spread misinformation around vaccines, yeah, you know what a good way to make sure that someone can't vote? Making sure they're dead.
Two more questions for you here before we get to Stump the Meech here. Paul Pierce on Instagram. He is somebody who works for ESPN. He is a face of the league, and we saw into his party lifestyle in a way that was very Miami, very fun, very... And during your playing days, John, you saw an awful lot of this in your circle, I'm sure. What should happen to Paul Pierce?
So everybody listening to this who is an employee and not of the company that they own will have restrictions on how they behave outside of work. Because if that behavior brings the organization into disrepute, they can be sanctioned for that. And I think he should be sanctioned for that. I don't understand it. It doesn't literally. I won't do that. But it makes my brain melt when I see this stuff because I don't understand it. I am not always this person. I can be immensely. I just ate three donuts. I mean, I can be immensely rewired, but that's radical for me. That's radical. I can be immensely silly and stupid, and I can do all kinds of things that I wouldn't necessarily do on camera. So it's not even, I don't have a challenge with exotic dancers or even sex workers being paid gainfully and treated however that is supposed to work. What I have an issue with is why he's a smart guy. And I know we say this a lot, but not everybody's a smart. He does have brain cells firing. Why would you do this? And at this time, I am so aware that every time I speak, people may choose to use me instead of Roy as the representative of all things black, me instead of Amin as the representative of all things black. And so I'm really aware I don't want people to be able to pin one of those racist tropes, one of those stereotypes on me. And here we are enabling that and muddying the water when there's other stuff going on. I just don't understand it. He should be sanctioned by his workplace, because that's probably what they have in their regulations. If they don't, I'll be amazed.
He should be sanctioned by his workplace is not a phrase I associated with our giggling about the story this weekend. He should be sanctioned by his workplace. I understand what you're saying.
But if you worked for Target and a video like that came out and then it was associated with the brand, you'd get fired.
Unless you had value to Target, though, maybe.
Unless right? You're a Hall of Famer. Unless you're
I'm not exactly sure how many TVs you'd have to sell to make that worth Target's while.
Meech, we'll get to the silly and the stupid in just a second here, but do me a favor. I was actually thinking about you. Put us in the room when John Amici is watching Oprah interview Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
I haven't seen it. I won't see it.
What?
Really?
I just can't.
Why?
You look really? Crestfallen. You look broken. Your body
there's only so much. There's only so much you can just take at any one time. And I just left the Duke of Edinburgh Awards. It's the foundation that the Duke of Edinburgh started years and years ago. His son, the Earl of Wessex, sits on that board. And I just left that board. I finished my term and just left it. I don't understand the fascination with royalty in general. They are, to Britain, an amazing resource in terms of being a wonderful tourist attraction. In terms of their pragmatic impact, they are now being tied very viscerally to this kind of flag shagging thing going on. The idea that you have to kind of wrap, you know, that thing where you wrap your arms around the flag or you wrap the flag around you. This flag shagging bullshit is what we've ended up with. And I'm just not here for it. So, you know, really anybody with even a modicum of knowledge of the British Empire is surprised for a second that there might be people in the royal family who wanted to keep the bloodline clean. Anybody? Really?
Well, it seems like such a cult. That family seems like such a cult, though. All it looks like to me from the outside is a woman who taught her man that he needed to break away from his family.
I don't even know enough about them to say anything. Because of the Duke of Edinburgh Award, I've met both Harry and William. I've met both of them. And I have said precisely 10 words to both. And that's it. That's my entire engagement with them. And it's only because I was on the board. Now, I doubt very much whether I'll ever have another engagement. I've got an OBE, which is an honorific that comes ostensibly from the royal family, but is actually from the government. And it's actually one of those things that people write in and say, this guy's all right. You should give him a nod. And that's what I've got. That's my engagement with this. Of course, anytime you take a massive institution and you tell it to go take a walk, then people are going to get their knickers in a twist. And that's what's happened. No, somebody has decided that the protocol followed by royals for thousands of years is not for them. and they're going to marry someone who is not who the royal family would normally want. And they're American too, or at least North American, and most Brits can't tell the difference. And people are surprised that it kicked off. Of course it kicked off.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're going to do Stump the Meech now, but Mike, you saw what just happened there, right? John Amici, and I felt like it was unnecessary, gave you some bona fides there just for no reason, where he basically gave you, yes, I've gotten certain honors, and I just didn't think any of that was necessary. I thought that that was, like we asked.
It was entirely necessary, Dan. You, totally. You and I both know that the moment this airs, if I hadn't said that, some asshole would have come in and said, oh, well, he got an OBE from the Queen. It's like, yeah. So I have to throw it out there. I'm a part of this.
I mean, well done, me.
All right, but that's like, it's not a name drop. It felt like a night drop. Like
it's
it
the
was,
first time someone's ever name dropped the Duke of Edinburgh.
That's never happened around here before. So let's dumb this down a little bit because there's been some knickers. There's been Dukes of, this needs to get
was
silly.
It knickers in a bunch? What was it?
Whittingham just corrected me. It's Edinburgh. Shut up.
That's a fine.
I mean, Jesus, Whitty. I got you now, Meech. Oh, Meech, you got no shot. Oh, here's the easy one.
Exist it.
Oh, man.
That's the easy one?
Exist it.
Yeah.
Exist it. Exist it. Exist it. Exist it. Exist it. Exist it.
The pace. Also, I don't know what you're enjoying pressing that button far too much.
Exist it.
Fixed it. You fixed it.
That's what I thought it was. He fixed it or some form of it.
It's broken. No, that is existence.
Exist it.
Yes.
Exist it.
Nailed it.
Exist it.
That's the easy one?
Exist it.
That's existence, and that's the easy one.
Exist it.
Good God, Meech.
We're up 1-0, Meech.
All right. Yeah, it's over. Let's go ahead and see. Usually you start with an easy one, Mike.
That was the easy one.
Yeah. 1-0.
What else we got?
Five.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember this.
Five.
See, that's just impossible without any context.
Fire. Fire. Fire.
I've got two guesses.
Fire. Fire. Fire.
Fought.
Fire.
I would
as
go
in the past tense of fight.
Fire.
I would go fire or five.
Two-syllable word, this is.
Of course it is. Fire. You're just abominable, Stugart.
Mm-hmm. Fire.
Any guesses now with that hint?
Fire.
Well, fire is two words.
Got nothing.
Or is two syllables, rather.
Final.
Of course.
Fire.
Wait a minute.
Fire.
There's a D in there that shouldn't be there.
Fire. Fire.
Final.
Fire.
All right, let's see the third one here. This is not good for you, Meech.
Oh, man.
Did you have phlegm in your throat? Is that what happened?
It's eaters.
This is two words.
That was two words?
It's unbelievable. That's not possible. What do you mean that's two words? That's somebody stepping on a frog. That is someone dying, a demon of some sort, shouting from the bottom of a well, the word Ian.
That is, I'm sorry.
Come on. That's not,
I'm throwing a perfect game,
Dan. That's not. I think Mike's just making these up now.
These have been way too hard.
I feel like they've been taken and shortened on even more than normal.
No. These are all 100% tried and true. He does this thing where he ejects on words sometimes. I'll give you an easy one now because I feel bad about how this has gone.
Carsonberg. Carsonberg. Carsonberg.
I don't know what that is.
Carsonberg.
What can that possibly be?
Carsonberg.
Is that one word?
This is one word.
No.
Carcinogenic.
Yeah.
One word?
Carcinogenic. Carcinogenic.
I know I'm going to kick myself when I hear it.
No,
but
you're
no
not.
Idea.
You're not going to know what this
you
is.
You want to have a guess, Meech?
Carcinogenic.
It feels like car surf.
Carcinogenic. Carcinogic.
No. He doesn't want to get.
You don't even want to get on the board. That's incarcerated.
Carcinogenic.
He's trying to say incarcerated Bob. And he
Carcinogenic. Carcinogenic.
It's good job out of you, Dan. That's right. He's trying to say incarcerated Bob, which is why that B made its way into that.
Carcinogenic.
Almost got the Bob out.
And finally, Mike told you were going to be 0-5. Meech looks deeply unhappy.
Yeah.
It's just not right, man. I'm sorry.
Come
on. It's got no shots.
Come on. Come on.
Is it one word or two?
This is one word.
Man, Mike has been thinking about this game for a while.
Fraud? I'm going to guess fraud.
It's a good guess, Dan. Meech?
He's just got his head in his hands and he hasn't spoken for 30 seconds and he's angry and this is radio and we need him to speak.
I think there's a force.
But I don't know what to do with that. One more time.
I think four syllables.
All I can hear now is fraud because you said fraud, but it's not
four
fraud.
Syllables. Yeah, four.
Well, I want you to imagine him. He's trying to say the word fraud and then in the middle of the word, someone tases him right in the balls.
Four syllables to this one. If you listen closely, you can hear all four. Nope.
It's so wrong.
Take that back.
Meech, we'll talk to you again soon.
I don't know. What is it? Just tell me. Put me out of my misery. What is it?
Analysis.
That was not fair at all. Meech, look, you're allowed to look at us that way. That
no,
wasn't,
he's not.
That wasn't even fun. Meech, that was not nice. It was not. No, just stop. Don't be a stranger. Good seeing you. Good talking to you.
Take care of yourselves, guys.
That last sound is the end of the Russian call of the Gonzaga buzzer beater.
Sorry about that, Meech.
Meech, those are real words that came out of this mouth.
They are not real words. None of these are real.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.